Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From KDWN 101.5 in Las Vegas, host of the Mark Hoke Show. He's going to give us a big pop. Mark Hoke is here. How you doing, Mark?
I'm okay. Guys, I know you were talking about the press conference last night. And yes. If you didn't see it, there was a world champ that kind of said some bad things to me. I got friends, man. I got my Hacksaw Jim Duggan autographed 2x4 that I'm going to bounce off his head if he says that to me the next time I see him.
Let's go. I didn't know there was a third type of diabetes, but apparently MJF has unlocked it.
No, and you know, it's funny. Sorry, I'm adjusting there. But the funny part is that I had blood sugar problems a long time ago, and that's gone. Now blood pressure, if you'd have gone there, yeah, you got me. Fat, yeah, I'm a little chunky, but I actually lost 14 pounds. Last month. So Max, he better be ready. I wrestled in high school, you know. I know how to do a headlock takeover. So
you can take him, Mark. You can take him. I got
Oh Jesus, no, he'd kill me. He'd kill me.
Can you beat up Joel Pearl, Mark? Can you beat up Joel?
Why would I beat Joel Pearl up?
Why wouldn't you?
You know, and by the way, your pop thing, I'm like right in the middle with you guys. I like to get the pop, but I also savor the satisfaction of the soda. You know what I mean? You kind of go in the middle. And Jeremy, I hope you take better care of your wife on that, you know, with trying to get that pop and get out than enjoy the time a little bit, man.
I take a lot of storytelling. what is happening to this? Show.
It's because guys, this has been an amazing weekend, and it was so crazy here in Las Vegas. And dude, I'm running on fumes. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, between I had Saraya on the show last week, and then it just went from there. I've been working the whole time, and then we did Jared on Friday morning. I edited that interview for 3 hours, and then worked at the station, and then we had Night of Champions. We had, it's been nuts, absolutely nuts. So, yeah, you're getting Mark Hoke with about 4 hours sleep. Congrats. Good work.
We're all on 4 hours sleep here. So, all right, let me ask, what was the crowd like last night? Because on television, didn't always come across the best. Our pal who works at Fightful, Righteous Reg, said crowd was hot pretty much all night. But again, didn't come across on television. You were there. You were in the arena. What was the crowd like?
I thought the crowd was pretty good overall. There were a couple moments that it was a little, I think everybody kind of got caught off guard at the end of the Jericho Cole match, just because I think we didn't know what happened. You know, I mean, all it was Cole was pounding on, and all of a sudden the match got stopped. And everybody was kind of like, huh? So I think that was kind of rough. And the Jamie Hayter match, I think, kind of slowed everybody down a little bit too, because we were expecting Jamie to come out and, get her big pop and everything. And it didn't really happen. So, we're watching her just get beat up, and all of a sudden she loses the title. So that was something I don't think anybody was really expecting. So those were kind of some of the slow moments that I remember from last night. But generally through the night, everybody was having a blast. And it was an exciting atmosphere in a T-Mobile last night. It really was.
Coming out of, or going into the show, I should say, other than Anarchy in the Arena and the Pillars 4-Way, was there a match that a lot of people were kind of talking about, getting excited about, that you overheard?
The Adam Cole match, I think everybody was pretty excited to see Adam Cole and Chris Jericho go. That was one that I think people were anticipating pretty well. Let me just run it down here real quick. I was pretty excited about the trios match because, the hints and everything that I saw, I knew that the Acclaimed were going to be coming out. So that was going to get pretty crazy. And other ones they were really talking about. I'd say those were kind of the big ones, to be very frank. But there were a lot of matches last night that I think I really, to me, were shockingly good. I got on Bleacher Report this while you guys were talking and looked at the reviews there, and I said to myself, wow, what were those guys watching? Because, you know, generally, everybody came out of there thinking, man, this was a great, great card last night. So
I think the way it closed helped. I mean, for the people watching at home, again, the audience, I don't know if it was miking issue, whatever it was, but after really starting with Jericho and Cole, kind of a dead period until the Statlander came out and won the TBS title. And that was a big pop. But let's go to Anarchy in the Arena. Of course, they're fighting all over the arena. What is the live experience with that? And then, look, we got to address this. This band that was live playing Wild Thing.
MLW Underground Artists, Violent Idols, Jeremy Lambert.
If you say so, Joel. What was the... How did that sound live? Because I got to say, on television, didn't sound good.
Live, everybody was going nuts. It actually sounded really good in the arena. People were, you know, when they kept repeating the song, the pop, everybody was just popping for that. They were absolutely loving it. So the match like the Anarchy in the Arena, last year too, I was actually sitting up a lot higher last year, so I could really see everything that was happening, as opposed to this year. It was a little bit lower, so I couldn't quite catch everything that was going on. So, you know, I was watching the monitors, but being at home is probably a little bit better for a match like that, because you're getting the camera switches and you're seeing everything close up. Like, obviously we're in the arena. We can't, other than looking at a monitor, we can't see what's going on in the concession stand. You know, so that you kind of lose that impact in there. And depending where you're sitting, you can't see. We couldn't see like Kenny Omega from where I was and Moxley getting dropped on the barbed wire. We had to rely on the monitors for that. So that match is a little tricky live, but still the atmosphere in there was just, everybody's just oohing and ahhing and cringing and it was a lot of fun. It really was.
Was there any burnout throughout the night? I know you said the crowd was hot for most of it, but was there like a real low point at all?
No, honestly, like I said, the Jamie Hayter match was the one that everybody kind of slowed down, but it was a hot night in there. It really was. I think I was sitting with a lot of the media people, and you know, we all kind of walked out of there saying, man, that was...
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
An unbelievable night, and everybody was having a blast. So I haven't seen the broadcast yet, obviously, but you know, maybe it's going to come off a different way. But yeah, T-Mobile's a very loud arena too. They've got that set up pretty well acoustically. I was in there for Money in the Bank and way back when Dean Ambrose won the championship, and that place just gets electric. And you know, it was a pretty fun night in there. I think everybody had a blast.
I want to talk about the press conference and not...
Okay, let's talk about that press conference, shall we?
Not fully MJF. What's that, Joel?
Great question. No comment.
you've done a few of these press conferences, right? With AEW?
Actually, that was my first scrum, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
I know if you're part of the one last year. All right, so what is your mentality when it comes to these press conferences? Because some people are in
Oh, you got Jeremy on the line.
Apologize for my terrible internet.
There we go. We're back.
That's okay.
All right.
Good pose. You look great.
Thanks. what is your mindset with this? Because some people are doing kayfabe. Tony Storm was just going to, you know, be Tony Storm and be outcast Tony Storm. And then MJF is obviously going to be MJF. Tony Khan will answer some questions, won't answer other questions. Like, when you go into this press conference, what is your mentality when it comes to asking questions?
when you're talking to the performers, you really, other than, you know, like I asked Orange Cassidy about how, you know, he's improved over the past few years and you know, what he thinks his key to successes are. And you can kind of get a question like that, but for the most part with the performers, you kind of have to keep it kayfabe, which, you know, I've found since I've been doing this, it's really difficult to interview wrestlers sometimes because you're going back and forth between talking about a fictional character and then talking about the person too. So when you're dealing with a media scrum like that, you have to kind of stay focused on the story and getting into, you know, I can't ask Tony Storm about, you know, tell me about your personal life in an AEW media scrum. You know, it's not going to work. So when it comes to the performers, for the most part, you can do that. Like with Chris Statlander, people are asking questions about her rehab and everything. So there's kind of a little bit of a line that you have to maintain when you're doing that and realize you're talking about the event. So you're talking about, I mean, you know, we know it's fiction, you know, so you're talking about a fictional event that took place. So you kind of have to watch what you're asking there. And then as for Tony, that's interesting because there you can get into the reality of things, but you know, I don't want to criticize anybody that was in there too much, but you know, I got bugged about the same thing. Why don't you ask about CM Punk? It's like, you know, he's not going to answer the question about CM Punk, you know, so why even bother? Why waste the time? I never like asking questions that you know the answer is going to be yeah, just to get a no comment. That just bores me to death. But I did think there were some kind of weird questions last night. But you know, I guess I've been doing journalism for a very long time. I've been writing, you know, wrote for newspapers and stuff from back in the 90s. So I have more of a journalistic background than maybe some other people do in that room. So I've got a little more understanding of where you can go, what you can do, and how you ask a question. So it's tough. It really is. And I know a lot of people were banging on Tony and banging on some of the reporters, but you know, it's not easy to ask some of those questions when you're in that room. It's a difficult spot.
I call it the kayfabe vortex.
That's a pretty fair assessment, but but a lot of people were trying to get information about Collision last night and, you know, and there were some good questions, but you know, like I was going to ask about you know, what he's expecting to do with it, but then somebody started talking about it and he wouldn't give any answers. So I was like, forget it. It's all good. Just do your thing, Tony.
Just as clarification, was this your first wrestling media scrum? Like, had you done a WWE one before?
No, you know, we've been doing this show for about a year and a half now. So I didn't get to go to the WrestleMania one. I was at WrestleMania, but I didn't get to go to the press conference. I did do the where they had everybody coming out for the Raw Superstars before WrestleMania. So I did get to do some interviews there, but I didn't get to go to the press conference afterward this last year. But yeah, so this is my first one. I got popped by MJF. Ouch. He's not gentle.
No, he's not. So then I guess my follow-up to that is, like you mentioned, you know, you've been around the journalism game for a little bit longer than some of the people in the room. How are you approaching your comments or your questions differently than someone who may be a little bit newer? This isn't me trying to get you to take a shot at anyone. This is more for anyone who maybe is more questioning the questioning styles of people who are in that room.
Well, I think one, you got to take your time and think about what you're going to say. It's easy to just get something in your head and then, you know, blurt it out. But, you know, the first thing is organize your thought before you say something, and try to keep things somewhat open-ended to a point so that somebody can expand on something. You don't want to say something like, well, you know, Jeremy, you're going to get a haircut today. You know, I think you're going to go get this style. It's going to look really good on you. What do you think? And then you're going to say, no, I'm pretty happy the way it is, you know, and get it cut off. You got to give people a chance.
You're trying to tell me I need a haircut. What? Trying to tell me I need a haircut, Mark?
No, I think you're a sexy man, buddy. We all know this.
Come on. I'm married, Mark. I'm married.
My wife is texting me asking me if you would drag a comb across your head, Jeremy. So you got that
one for you. No. That's his style, man.
It is.
You don't mess with the style. See, I haven't slept, Joel.
I used to
be able to do that too.
That's what I said. I said everyone's tired. We're just coming to work. Here we are.
This is my disheveled. This is my day after AEW pay-per-view look.
This weekend was unreal. I'm going to be interested to see if AEW makes any adjustments to their schedule next year, because to be very frank, I thought it was kind of crappy at WWE to try to muscle in on Memorial Day weekend. Because to be very honest, I think that it made this weekend hard for wrestling fans to, put us in a spot where we had to pick and choose. And, being here in Las Vegas, there must have been 14 indie cards going on. You got Double or Nothing. And now we've got two WWE events that we've got to keep an eye on too. I think I watched Night of Champions at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. I didn't enjoy that. That was not fun. I would have preferred to have been able to see it on another weekend. So I'll be curious to see if Tony makes any adjustments to what he's doing here. But they really should have left that weekend alone.
I mean, I'll push back a little bit with the talk of running Vegas on Memorial Day weekend. We had Andreas Hale on the show last week, and in our preview, he was of the mindset that running Memorial Day weekend in Las Vegas is almost detrimental to wrestling fans because of the cost of everything going out to Las Vegas.
Shop around, guys. That I'll say that. Yeah. If you go down to the Strip, and it's a problem I think that we're having here just in general, that the costs of things on the Las Vegas Strip are going up, and they are getting away with charging some ridiculous prices at times, like the Formula One race that's coming here in November. They're charging $2,000 and stuff for rooms. It's ridiculous. Like if you have a view, because if you don't know, the race is going to be run on the Strip and behind it. And if you have, they made some agreement with F1 that if a room faces where the track is going to be running, they're jacking the price up on those rooms. And they're doing this kind of stuff all the time. It's not like it was back when I was younger where, you come out and get a $4.99 buffet and a $20 room and off you go. It's a way different dance here now. So I would tell everybody that if you're coming out for events here, there's a lot of great hotels off the Strip, Fremont Street, but all around the city that you can take advantage of. Because if you go to the Venetian or the Bellagio, you're going to get hit pretty hard. But coming here from Memorial Day weekend, one of the great advantages of it is there's so much going on and we can handle it here. So, there's pluses and minuses to it. I get what you're saying. I just realize that, pretty much anywhere you go, you're going to hit Memorial Day pricing. But, shop around or drop me a line at Mark Hoke Show, on Twitter, and I'll be happy to help out. And by the way, I Uber too.
Mark will be your travel agent if you're going to Vegas. So
there you go.
With a discount on hotels and whatnot. What was the vibe like for the Pillars match? Because the build was, for a lot of people, a little off. But then once the match started, everyone seemed into it. And by the end of it, everyone was definitely into it. But what were your thoughts, first off, on the match and the finish and everything? And then the overall crowd reaction to the match?
Well, I'll tell a fast story before I give my match reaction. I do a lot of work with Future Stars of Wrestling here, which is the top indie promotion in town. And just so happened, I popped over there Saturday morning. The guys that were in that match actually went over and used the FSW facility on Friday night to put that match together. I think MJF and Darby got there around 8. And then I think Sammy got there about 8:45 and Jungle Boy got there like right after that. They were there until 2 a.m. working on that match. So they were there for 6 hours putting that thing together. And I thought it showed. Everybody was really enjoying that match. There were some cool moments. And I was a little torn on a few points in there because I'm one of those people that hates those coordinated spots that you can just tell it, and that, you know, we're, you know, I'm doing the punch here and then you do the punch there and you kind of go in the circle and all that kind of crazy stuff. Those kind of things, or one person's jumping on five guys. Those have never been my kind of thing in a match. So that threw me off a little bit, but people were absolutely enjoying it. I mean, they were laughing at the points they were supposed to. I mean, those guys did a great job throwing it together, and everybody got a kick out of it, and was, they were pretty heavily into it. It was, like I said, the whole night people were just enjoying the show. And, you know, they said the main event was just, it was pretty phenomenal. And when you think about how they put that thing together and made it flow, and it could have been so chaotic, I was very impressed with what they did. And I think a lot of people were too.
Final thoughts from Double or Nothing and the overall live experience from you, Mark, whether it be the show in general, press conference, just everything that went into last night.
I thought overall it was a great night. I see where people could have some bones to pick with it, especially if you're seeing it on TV. But at the arena, everyone enjoyed it. Chris Statlander coming out was, to me, the biggest moment of the night, and it's going to be very interesting to see where that goes. Does Jade move on, or and she starts maybe challenging for the world championship, or do they let her and Chris fight it out for a while? But she was incredibly humbled at the press conference that she had gotten that chance and that she was back in the ring after all that. But otherwise, man, I tell you, there's going to be some fun storylines coming out of this. And I think people are going to enjoy EW programming coming up as we move forward, coming out of Double or Nothing. It was just a great show. And I would encourage everybody, if you can get out here for this, you'll have a wonderful time. Vegas, we know what we're doing out here, and T-Mobile is a terrific arena to watch a wrestling event.
Here's the big question.
Yeah.
Who is going to be the first wrestling company to run the Sphere?
Ooh, that's a good question. For those that don't know what the Sphere is,
Tony Khan certainly didn't.
Yeah, he didn't.
It's funny because I do Uber as well, and I've seen that thing get built from moment one. It's a giant, basically a giant ball that, and that's my daughter back there, by the way. Hi, Amanda. We're live on TV. You want to say hi to everybody?
I'm
TV. Yeah, there we go.
No interest in that.
Unbelievable. But it's owned by Madison Square Garden, and it's going to be a giant amphitheater event center. I swear to God, it looks like a Death Star. It will be a prop in a movie at some point. Some monster is going to grab it, go bowling for casinos or something like that. Yeah, exactly. But it's, that would be an unbelievable venue. And especially there's cameras all around the outside of it. So it's got LED lighting that they're going to be able to put whatever they want on it. Amazing thing. And I don't know how they fit it where they did. It's right behind the Venetian. So it's kind of hooked into where the convention center is. But a wrestling event in that facility, God, it's funny that I hadn't even thought of that. But, ooh, Joel, you're on it on that. If I was picking who would probably do it, I would imagine, I think AEW would probably go in there first. I've heard things about WWE not being super happy about SummerSlam when it was out here, but who knows? That is kind of a WWE thing though, isn't it? To roll into some place like that. So yeah, we'll see.
I was also just thinking, I forgot that Madison Square Garden has ownership on this. Well, first of all, Madison Sphere Garden is what they should call it. But also the idea that MSG, who is a WWE like partner, would probably want WWE to try and run that space if it's feasible. Because I think they said it's like 20,000 standing. So once you add seats, it's probably about 17. Is that good enough? Or what kind of show can you run there?
I'm sorry. I'm trying not to die laughing because Amanda, I'm live on a broadcast.
I want my cat.
She wants her cat.
I get it.
Oh, it's Memorial Day weekend, guys. What can I say? But I think it's very feasible. I think it's very feasible to run in there. And I could only imagine what WWE would do, you know, especially with the way it is on the outside too, with the lighting and so on. Man, that would be a lot of fun to see a WWE show in there. And yeah, I think it would be very feasible to have a WWE show in there for sure. So good question, Joel.
Gotta see it. I saw it.
You have 1 point ahead of Jeremy at this point. Nice job.
Oh, that's fine. Joel's much better at hosting this and doing all this than I am. I'm tired. Tired, Mark. I would have just answered a great question. Can't comment. Just great question, Joel. I don't know what the sphere is. Can't really comment on that. That's interesting.
Yeah, but take a look at it. If you go online and search it, it's one of the most amazing facilities I think I've ever seen built. Yeah. And you know, the project ended up being about $2.2 billion. To finish that thing off. Jeez. Yeah, 2.2 with a B, not an M, a B. And you know, and U2, I believe, is going to be opening it scheduled for September, if I remember right. That's when they're trying to get in there to get it rolling. But yeah, that would be an amazing place for a wrestling event for sure.
UFC is going to run that thing first, and then we'll see how it rolls from there.
It probably will.
Wrestling. Yeah, I think UFC is probably going to run it first. Yeah. Mark, thank you for joining us this morning. I know it's early. I know you had a late night as well, so we really appreciate you stopping by on this show. Let everybody know where they can find you at.
Well, just key on Mark Hoke Show. That's the easiest way to do it. If you haven't heard the show, we are on KDON 101.5 FM Las Vegas. 8 to 10 on Sunday mornings. And then the podcasts go up on markhokeshow.podbean.com. And they're on all your favorite podcast outlets. Twitter is Mark Hoke Show. Facebook is The Mark Hoke Show. Website is markhokeshow.com. You kind of get the point. So, but we've been growing by leaps and bounds. It has been an amazing journey in this. You know, we're going to be getting video cameras installed in the KDON studios soon, which is pretty exciting for that. So hopefully we'll be simulcasting in a little bit. And we've also got the YouTube channel, too, where we're chopping up the show and putting all the segments up there and everything. That's the Mark Hoke Show. So, you know, please follow us. And there's a pretty good episode on there with a certain guy that's on the screen right now. And Joel, it's not you.
Oh, no, don't watch or listen to the episode with me.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We'll I try to be more again. Professional. Oh, thanks. I try to be more professional when I do radio spots. As you saw from our previous conversation before you on, I'm not professional on this show at all. I'm screaming about pops and soda and things like that. So,
oh, that's okay. Well, radio we'll get Joel on too sometime. And
don't do that.
Why? Do that.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. But I'd love to join. We'll get there.
All right. Well, hey, guys, but thank you for letting me come on the show. I do appreciate it. And to everybody out there listening, I hope you'll check us out. We would certainly appreciate that. You know, myself, David Difference, and Brian Ronovich from LasVegasWrestlingScene.com would love to have you be part of the Mark Hoke Show family. And Joel and Jeremy, thank you so much for inviting me on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Go beat up MJF. Go find him. I'm sure he might still be out there in Vegas. Go find him with that 2x4 and take it upside his head.
Wait, you mean this one?
Yeah.
Go get him.
Yeah. He's got a hurt arm, I think. So just smash it onto his arm. Make it really broken.
Yeah, once I get done with the carpal tunnel syndrome, because that blew my Twitter up, by the way. I mean, holy cow. So, you know, but real quick on that, it's funny because people were saying, oh my God, he's going to be so depressed and so sad. And I'm like, let's see, we got 100,000 views on one tweet that I saw. You know, 85,000 for the scrum. I'm like, yeah, I couldn't have done much better than that. So awesome.
Successful weekend had for all.
Yes,
right. Ask MJF a question. Let him roast you a little bit. And then, you know, ratings, views, whatever it might be.
That's how it goes.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Get some rest. Thank you again for joining us. Everyone go check out the Mark Hoke Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.